Awesome video, awesome trip. All the glory to God. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Amen. All right, well, just to give you a little background, the kids perform that whole song down there every morning at the orphanage. They have worship for about 45 minutes, and the kids did that song down there, and then they recreate it here tonight, so just kind of a little context there. So, first of all, I'd like to thank Gold Country Baptist Church, the elders, and all the members of the team for making this trip possible and for such a great trip that it was. Like I said before, you know, we've been doing this for 7 years, and it was just an awesome privilege to lead this group down to the orphanage, and greatly encouraged to see the interest that's growing in our church body for short-term missions, and I fully expect that it will continue to grow and that we'll continue to take large teams like this down to this orphanage. One thing that I'd like to share from the trip that really moved me was the night before we left, the entire team gathered in the prayer room that they have there at the orphanage. And we went around individually, and each member of the team got to share what moved them about the trip. And as they spoke, it moved me to hear these kids, these teens that were on this trip, speak about seeing the missionaries that were down there and how little they have, but how joyful they were in their service. And as they went around the room, and each one of them had their own kind of version of that, it just moved my heart to see how it was affecting them and moving them as kids. That's what short-term missions is all about, which you saw in the video. We go down, we help, we serve. We do have a little bit of fun. And I saw all of that happen on this trip, and it was just such a wonderful trip. So one final third thought for those in the church is I want to encourage everyone here tonight. You're all welcome to come on this trip. We'd love to have you as part of the team. You'll work hard because that's how you pay for your stay at the orphanage, by work. Sometimes you paint rocks. Sometimes you build beds. Sometimes you dig ditches. But you'll work hard. You'll make a difference. You'll maybe have some fun, but you will be changed forever. So, with that, I'm not sure. We're going to have some testimonials from some of the team members. I'm not sure who's going to go first, but I guess it's going to be late. It's going to go first.
So I'm going to give you the mom's perspective of the Mexico missions trip. When we first decided to go, I thought it'd be us and the Concas and some of the Baldovins, and then it turned into this whole team. And so I got to really have a different experience than what I initially thought I was signing up for. But just to say, like, from a mom's perspective, the Concas were so on top of everything. They were so organized and so faithful, and I really appreciated that. Like, there was no lag. There was no, what are we doing next? Or they knew where we were going. We never had to ask for directions. It was so smooth, and that just made it really comfortable to be there because you're in a foreign place and you don't speak the language, but these people know exactly what they're doing. So you can totally trust them with your children if you send them. And then just to really praise the Lord that we did not get sick on this trip. And I know it was because so many of you were praying for us. And that was one of my main prayer requests because, you know, one goes down, the next goes down, and it's just one of those, like, inevitable things when you're with 24 people. in cart all the time and just close quarters. So I just really thank you guys for your faithful prayers. And then being able to go as a family, if you guys choose to do that, is such a blessing. And then to have this like multi-generational team. We had, Christopher was 5 and then all the way up. So it was like every age was there, and we all had different skill sets and abilities and gifts, but it just, the Lord used each person together to make a whole. And that was such a sweet thing. And the ministry itself, I've been on other mission trips, I've been in other parts of the country, but this was like designed for teams to come and serve. So, you know, you go on a mission trip and sometimes you're way more work for them to have you come than is really worth it. And this isn't like that. So you go and you feel like you're actually contributing to what ministry they already have going on. And obviously, like, you know, your skill sets are all different. I can paint a rock. I did that. I was like, why did a rock need to be painted? I don't know. But once we realized it's to show that there's speed bumps in the road, like, okay, that's their way of showing speed bumps. Okay, I'll paint the rock. Or I can rake. You know, I raked. We painted an apartment for new missionaries that were coming in to stay there on the premises. One day I said, I'll work in the soup kitchen. I was so excited to, like, work in the soup kitchen. And I got there, and they, like, pointed at the broom and the mop. I was like, I know how to do that. I'm really good at that. So just not having expectations, but not them not always being exactly what you think it's going to be. And then the person didn't even speak English. Like, she couldn't tell me what to do, but I knew exactly what a broom and a mop do. So it was easy. And the language barrier just really was never a real problem. We had interpreters whenever we needed them, and so that was a blessing. Or you learn to communicate. And so that was a blessing to me. And then for you parents that are thinking about sending your children or going together, it's a really great opportunity to have a cross-cultural experience for your kids in a safe environment, in a very low-cost way. And it's not that far. You don't have to get on a plane or, you know, do all the things that go into really going to other countries. Mexico is fairly easy to travel in and out of. Minus just time. So that, as a mom, I would encourage you to think of, this is a great way to have my family experience ministry in another country outside of our church and what we do here, and you just extend it down there to another group of people. And then I was just thinking about what my kids would do, especially my boys, because, you know, they're younger, and I just didn't know what to expect for them. But God gave the boys a ministry from the minute we left back, or here, Eagle Springs. He gave us Christopher in our car. And it kept my boys busy the entire time because they had so much fun with Christopher, and we loved having him. And it just was, looking back, it was a blessing that I didn't know was coming for my boys, to have a little buddy to take care of and play with, and because they couldn't always do everything that everybody else was doing, but we had Christopher, and that was a lot of fun. So that was a blessing in disguise for us. And I just want to share lastly a verse that I love. It's Ephesians 5, 1 and 2. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love just as Christ loved us, and gave himself up for us as an offering and a sacrifice to God, a fragrant aroma.
Jake. I just really enjoyed this trip. Thank you, Jeannie and John, for organizing it. It was very well organized. And I didn't think I would ever get to do anything like this. I was, like, totally taken by surprise. Kiana Gray actually suggested I go because she told me Anna wants to go. So I said, oh, and then she said, oh, and they need another chaperone. And I said, oh, okay. So that's how I got to go, and I was blown away. really blown away. I did not know what to expect. I was kind of scared and didn't know anything about Mexico at all whatsoever. So I was surprised how well the orphanage was run, and the kids were so well taken care of and loved. The group parents, the parents that had them, really, I could tell they just really loved them and cared for them just like their own. And it was just such a neat experience to be involved in that, to go and watch their children. They entrusted them to us to watch for the night while they got to go to the Christmas party. And so that was very neat. And then we also got to take one of the children to the, we got to each pick one child from our group that we're, age group that we're watching, and we got to take them to the beach. And that was one of my favorite times with them. And I think just what I took away from this trip the most is just the Lord just has given me more joy to serve Him, just watching others around me with serving Him like they did, and the place that they were in, and with what they had, and just the happiness they had doing it, and just encouraged me more just to serve Him. So, thank you.
Hi, I'm Lydia, as most of you know. I was very fortunate to be able to go on this trip. Thank you, Conca, so much for taking me. I very much enjoyed it, and I'm hoping to go again. Don't let me. I can honestly say that this was the best time ever, probably ever in my life. Being able to spend, it was only a week, but I wish it was so much longer, because I was leaving, when we were leaving, I said, I do not want to go. I want to stay here. But, spending a week with my family in Christ and some of the happiest kids and being able to serve the Lord. This trip was a big eye-opener, seeing how they live down there. Just that everything is so much different because of the poverty. It was really different once we crossed the border, just seeing how everything was so different compared to what I was used to. And so it was real shock at first, just seeing how everything was so different. But then, but it was good because it was a reminder to see, it was a good reminder to be thankful for what we have, because a lot of people around the world don't have that. And the kids at the orphanage, they were well taken care of, but it was also good seeing them because they were always so happy. And like even when they didn't have a lot, I mean, they had a home and people that loved them and took care of them. But they were always just so happy knowing that they have a home and people that love them and having Christ. And that's a good reminder because it's like, yeah, we may not have everything that we want, but we have if we have a home, we have people that love us and take care of us. And then it's like, and Christ is our all in all. And it's a good reminder to see that they don't have a lot, but they know that they have Christ and they're good. I would definitely recommend going. It is such an amazing trip. It is an amazing trip. And even though, personally, I couldn't talk to them because I don't know much Spanish, but it was still, like when we housed out, we were playing games with them. We taught them to go fish, and they knew how to play spoon, so we played with that. And then when we were able to take them to the beach, I was walking. One girl that Caitlin and I made a good connection with, we were just walking down the beach back and forth with them, which was really nice. And it was, even though you can't talk with them, you can still play games and share God's love with them and show that they are loved and that there are people out there that care for them and that love them and that are praying for them. And so if you get the chance, go. And if you can't, please be praying for those that are going, because we definitely need it. So thank you.
Hi everyone, my name is Caitlin Grave, if you don't know me, and I was so blessed to have been able to go on the trip this year, and I'm so grateful that I got to go. And it wasn't actually my first time. I got to go once before with the Concas and with my parents and my older brother when I was 10, but it was such a different experience now that I'm older and, understanding what I'm seeing, and it was really eye-opening, and so I thought I'd share some of my experience that when I was down there. The first thing, which I think was probably the highlight of everyone's week, was the house sitting. We got to go to the house, which there were girls, there were older girls from, I think, 12 to probably 17 or 18. And so we just hung out with them. We got to play spoons, and I was in the house with Brittany and Clea. So we taught them Go Fish and Connect Four, and it was just so much fun to hang out with them. We later got to take them to the beach, as Lydia already said. I kind of made a connection with them because one of the youngest girl in the house, she found out I knew a little bit of Spanish, and so I became her translator between Lydia. So the other thing that really stood out to me was when we got to go to the house, it was just so heartbreaking seeing where those people live, and just when we got there, the trash everywhere, and the flies, like, they filled our car. I don't know if there's a picture, but the whole roof is covered. And luckily, I didn't have to go in that car. I was the one with the message. But just seeing the way they were living, there were pigs everywhere, and the dogs with diseases, they were so skinny, and it just was really sad. And but one thing that stood out to me was as we were handing them food, they were just so grateful for this one plate of food and just didn't complain about it. And they think, we're always here and we're complaining, like, there's no Wi-Fi, or I want that phone. And it just, but they're just happy with a plate of food. So that really stood out to me. And another thing was the daily job assignments. We get them, like, each day. And for the most part, I worked in the kitchen. I think there were a couple days I did different things, but I worked in there, and they just had mass production of food. There was one day we had to cut so much zucchini, it was insane. We had, like, pans that were, like, this wide and, like, that deep, and we had to fill three of them just to cut zucchini. It took a really long time. And but just the ladies there, they didn't speak any English, so they would just kind of, and try to tell us what to do. And but they were always so joyful. They were always singing while they were cooking, and just had such joy in the service they were doing. And it was so encouraging. And we got to, they were playing Toby Mac music, and Ella, Rachel, and I were just, like, rocking out to them. They were like, oh, you know this song. And that was really cool. So in closing, I just want to encourage you guys, if you're thinking about going and just think it's a chance, on the last trip, I would really encourage you to think about going, and you should go, because it was a really amazing experience, and it really is eye-opening. And if you weren't thinking about going, you should think about going, because it was really awesome. And if you're unable to go, I just encourage you to continue praying for the Conquest as they go, and the upcoming team and the mission down there and the other ministries that they support. And yeah, so thank you.
Okay. Hello, everyone. My name is Ella Leighton, if you don't know me. And I'm just so thankful to be here tonight and to have the opportunity to share with you guys about how the Lord used this trip to impact me. And I want to say thank you for the Conquest for doing so much to make this trip possible. First of all, I went down to bless the people in Mexico, but ultimately it was them who blessed me. And I just felt led to share a few things that God used to show me on this trip. One of those was just, no matter what country you live in or what language you speak, we all have the same need, and that is salvation. And the beauty of Christ Church is the diversity that you can take anyone in Mexico, in America, all over the world, and they're the family of God. And so it was such an encouragement to serve alongside these people, because although we don't speak the same language, we have the same God, and everything they do just flows from the love of Christ and the joy they have in Christ, and they completely display the gospel through their actions. And we were only there for a short period of time, too short, but it was wonderful to set apart each day for service to the Lord. But I was reminded that every day I spend on this earth is fully an act of God's grace, and every day I need to be serving and glorifying Him in everything that I do. And I was just reminded of 1 Corinthians 10:31, which says, whether you eat or you drink or whatever you do, do all for the glory of God. Christ used this trip to show me that I need to daily be reminded of His grace in my life so that all I do would flow from the joy of knowing Christ my Savior, and that I can display the gospel through my actions, whether it be in Mexico or in my home, putting on that humility every day to serve whoever God brings into my life every day. And His purpose is for me to preach the gospel. And they have such a pride and joy in their identity in Christ, and I was just encouraged by Romans 1:16, which says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes." And so I encourage you to pray about this trip. If you have a desire to go, keep praying. If you don't have a desire to go, keep praying about it, because God can use that. And this is only one of the many things God taught me on this trip, but the Lord used it to change me in more ways than I can even imagine. So thank you, Lord.
So if you guys would have asked me and John 10 years ago if we would be leading missions trips, we would have thought you were hilarious. Because that would not have been my expectation of what God had planned for us. But God orchestrated the details to have us to be willing to say yes the first time. And then He completely changed our hearts to continue to say yes. And so, has that been a sacrifice? Well, it has. We don't really have traditions of a consistent family holiday season because we go and we serve in Mexico. Our vacation money is typically spent getting ourselves down to Mexico twice a year. But would I change anything about having said yes that first time? Absolutely not. Yamile. The sweet girl of four that stole John's heart 4 years ago. We only see her twice a year, but she knows that we're coming back. That we're going to make more memories at the beach, we're going to take her to tacos, and we're going to eat some more ice cream. Ava, the 8-year-old girl with cerebral palsy that I met 4 years ago, who had never spent any time off of the bed in her family home. That now I can go visit and I can see her amazing smile as she interacts with those around her from her stander or her wheelchair. Christina and Paulino, an amazing example of trusting and obeying the Lord to minister to those who walk in their path. Surviving on about $200 a month to support their own family and their ministry, praising God all the time. What would my life be like without the perspective that I have because of those two? Consistently going to the trash dumps to feed those and love on those that no one else will even look at, much less speak to. Sarah Van Dyke, leaving home at the age of 18 just to do a quick mission trip to Mexico before she began her real life. Over the next 6 years, she's been the house mom to 12 girls, foster a young teen in great need, and watch that young lady become a strong woman of Christ and a married woman and soon to be a mother. Begin the process to adopt a 5-year-old boy who has a broken family, and then to becoming the co-administrator of the orphanage that she served at. God demonstrates to me every time that we go to trust in Him for the details. What gets done is what's supposed to get done. We'll cross the border with everything, and maybe we won't even have to unpack the truck. Bringing gifts to the kids at the orphanage, the kids of the staff members at the orphanage, to the town of Kamaloo, and seeing pure joy on their faces as they seek out those treasures in those bags. But the best thing is my family. My family here that God gave to me, as well as the family in Mexico, my Christian family, my God family, and my family here at church. When we serve alongside others, with the same motivation and the same intent to glorify God in all of our actions, you quickly build a deep bond. I know, without a doubt, that I am welcomed by hugs and smiles from the staff at FFHM. Even though I only spend 1 week out of the 52 available, they're thankful for the time that we give. These friendships span a lifetime. God brings these people together who are family, serving Him. We are the hands, His hands and feet, doing His work. Not only family in Mexico, but family right here in Gold Country. I'm so incredibly thankful to know these 23 people that went on this trip much better than I did in November. Once you've been to Mexico, you are in the know. You've experienced it, and you will never be the same. So I have a question for each of you. You've heard from many people this evening. You've seen the video. You've seen the smiling faces. You can't even begin to know the emotions that video evokes in me. The joy of having been there, but the ache of missing them. What will cause you to say yes? Would a week away from your regular family traditions truly make a difference? Can you remember what you did on Thanksgiving 2012? What if God had a different plan for you? Instead of roasting one more turkey and having all the same conversation with your extended family that you do every year, instead of watching the football games and eating pumpkin pie, what if God wanted you to do something different next year? What if you were supposed to get a little dirty, work really hard, play with a bunch of kids, slide down some slides, bring some food to some very dirty men, and meet and encourage some incredible warriors of Christ who are serving every single day? What do you think God could do for you if you just said yes?
Well, I want to just add to the thanks to John and Jeannie and to the whole team. It was truly a great experience, and I would encourage all of you to not only think about it, but to go as you get an opportunity. I want to just share some scriptural reflections with our time that we have left from the trip, and thinking about why short-term missions. What is it all about? And I would suggest to you not to think the three F's as you think about going on a mission trip: fun, adventure, food. Sometimes people, they talk about the food on their mission trip. Or flies. That picture really doesn't do justice to the flies, but I would encourage you to think perspective. I think you've heard some of the kids talk about their perspective being changed. Think people, and think prayer, or fatigue. You can decide which that is. But why short-term missions? What is it all about? And maybe you might think, well, to fulfill Matthew 28:19-20, we know that verse, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them and teaching them to obey all I commanded you. I would actually suggest to you that's not the goal of short-term missions. And if we're going to judge them as a success based on whether that goal is accomplished or not, we wouldn't do short-term missions. If you measure them by the number of baptisms that happen, the number of individuals that were discipled by you, or the nations being discipled by you in a short time, of course we can't do that. We can't teach them to obey all that Jesus taught in 1 to 2 weeks, which most short-term missions are, especially if you don't know much of the language. That's really what long-term missionaries have a part of that commission, which is till the end of the age. But I would say, as we look higher, what is it all about? I would say it's the same as the chief end of man. The chief end of missions, the chief purpose, is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. And so we want to glorify God with our walk, with our witness, as we have opportunities to do that. Jesus said in Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men that they might see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. And so that's our walk as well as our witness, that we would enjoy God, that we would have the joy of the Lord. And I know some of these people that you've heard share talked about the joy. I can think of Robert, who we served with, and the joy that he had in the Lord. I can think of many of these dear ladies and just the evident joy, the encouragement they had. And so we want to bring joy to others, let the nations be glad, but I think we would all admit their joy was an encouragement to us and a challenge to us. And then forever their missions can reorient us from the temporal to what's eternal and what matters. And some are forever changed. Colossians 3:2 says we're to set our mind on the things above, not just the things of this earth. And a trip like this can really help with that, not just thinking about the things that we have here, but thinking about what matters. Or 2 Corinthians 4:18 says not just to look at the things that we see around us that are temporary, but the things that are lasting. And so you've heard this statement, you will never be the same. If you can read that there, that's over the door as you walk out of the place where we gathered. I would suggest, why short-term missions? To think three E's. To think exalt the Lord. And you can see this in Ephesians 3:21. To Him be the glory. And then the next E would be to encourage the believers. You want to be an encouragement to those that you are going to serve with. And Ephesians goes on to say after that, that we're all to do His work and build up the body. Each part helps the other part. We each have a part to play in the body in building up and encouraging other believers. And then to expand your vision, Ephesians 4 then goes on to say, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and your attitudes. And I think one of the values of being a part of a trip like this is just to expand your vision, expand your thinking, and let the Spirit renew the way you're thinking and your attitudes to expand your vision. So I want to talk about that a little bit. But we could add some other verses to exalt the Lord in the Psalms. God says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. And we see that promise in Old Testament times, but we get to see that happen in our times. And in Psalm 34:18, let's read that together. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. And so there's something about together working towards that goal. We exalt and we magnify the Lord better together, you could say, as a team, than we do just on our own. We are called to exalt the Lord as individuals, but we magnify Him. We make much of Him better as a team. That's why we have the body of Christ and we're not just on our own. So exalting the Lord and then encouraging the believers you visit. Romans 15:5-6 says, let's read this together. May the God who gives encouragement or endurance and encouragement give you a spirit of unity among yourselves as you follow Christ Jesus, so that with one heart and mouth you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so that flows out of that purpose to exalt the Lord, but seeking to encourage others and to be unified and with one heart and mouth to glorify Him, and then to expand your vision. Think of a magnifying, not like a magnifying glass where you're looking at something small and seeing it as bigger. Think of the magnifying of a telescope where you're seeing something that is massive and that is big, and you're seeing it bigger. You're seeing it more like it really is. That's the sense of, I will magnify Him with thanksgiving, Psalm 69:30. As we are thankful, as we are more thankful, we magnify the Lord. As we are thankful for the little that we have or the much that we have, we make much of Him. We glorify Him. Or John the Baptist said, He must increase, but I must decrease. And so we need to make less of us and make more of Him and see him increase. And I think there's some special ways a trip like this can help us with that. So expanding your vision of the world, in this case, the third world. And you can go to other places as well. This is a sort of trip where you can do this not as expensively, probably a fraction, in some cases a tenth or a fraction of what it would be to go to other countries because we're so close. But to expand your vision of the world and also of what God's doing in other places, how big He is and the bigness of his family. That's been one of the blessings for me, knowing believers all around the world, growing up in a third world country and being reminded of that again afresh recently. and also to expand your vision of what God's doing in you. That it's good to be challenged outside your comfort zone. We all have our routines and our comfort zones, and it's good for all of us to be pushed out of those comfort zones and to let God change us. Expanding our vision of the world and magnifying the Lord together in Baja, Mexico. So that's the world. It's a magnifying glass on South or Central America, I should say, and the Baja Peninsula there. That's where the mission is located, a few hours south of the border and south of Ensenada there. And so this is actually, I took this picture of this is the biblical vision for Foundation for His Ministry. In particular, their outreach office has this good-sized mural on their wall. As you're going up, you see this statement here, and I'll give you the English. It's from Isaiah 61, 1 through 2. To proclaim good news to the poor. Let's read this together. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And that's in red letters because that's the words of the Lord himself when he came to his synagogue in Nazareth. The scripture reading that he chose was from Isaiah 61, and he read that, and he said, this is fulfilled in your hearing. In other words, this, as Jesus came the first time, that scripture began to be fulfilled, and that's really being fulfilled, beginning with that time in Nazareth through now when he comes again, the year of the Lord's favor, and then he talks about the time when he will come again. That's his mission that goes forth through his people from his coming, his first coming till his second coming, and that was part of what I preached on that first full day in Mexico there. And you saw some of these kids in the community there. And I also preached from Luke 2, verse 10. You heard that this morning. Behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. A Savior has been born to you this day, who is Christ the Lord. And as we were there, and actually a lot of different places, as we ministered in different ways, I gave the brief message that night, but we also gave them gifts. We gave them tracts. These were from many of you who took those little ornaments in the back from the Christmas tree. That was a part of what we gave out that evening, and everyone on our team got to have different parts in giving those gifts, giving them the gospel, giving them gospel tracts as well to their families, their parents, or those you see standing behind them there. And I also noticed on this picture here, the sheaves at the bottom of harvest ready to gather in. And it reminds me of, I'm sure this is where they got it from, John 4:35. Let's read that together. Look, I tell you, lift up your eyes and see that the fields are white for harvest. And then another passage, Jesus, when he saw the multitudes, I love this statement, he was moved with compassion. He saw all these people, and his heart was moved with compassion for them. And then he said to his disciples, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. And that verse was also important to my family at Harvest Baptist Church they planted in the Philippines, that concept of the Lord of the harvest. And it's right here in their prayer room. Also right in the center of their campus, the mission campus there, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the field. And so this trip reminded us of the priority and power of prayer in our time that's escaping us. But there's some wonderful examples they shared with us of how they prayed and how God in his providence just provided for them in some amazing ways. But this is, the person who was giving our tour said, they really believe that this room right in the center of the campus there is so crucial, and that every blessing they have has really been due to faithful prayer warriors who gather in this room to pray that the Lord of the harvest would send laborers into the field. And I was also reminded of 1 Peter 2:2, where it says, like little ones, we're to long for the milk of the word so that by it we may grow. These children right here, we're getting in line. This is one of our outreach gatherings, and they're getting in line for literal milk and literal peanut butter, a little nourishing snack that we were giving them. But just seeing their faces and their eagerness to get a cup of milk and to get some peanut butter reminded me that's how we are to be longing for the Word of God. As I looked at those faces, that's I need to be coming and tasting and seeing the Lord is good and desiring, as 1 Peter says, his milk like a little one. And this trip also reminded me there's only one race that we are all a part of. This trip reminded our kids that we're all one family of faith. And this trip reminded us all that all people need the love of Christ. They need the love of Christ. They need the gospel of Christ. And we could tangibly begin to show that to some of these as part of it. They're doing their outreaches, and we're just kind of a part of it. You know, we're kind of the white people, kind of help gathering the crowd. But more than that, we're wanting to, even though we can't communicate with some of them, to show the love of Christ. And you get a sense for some of the precious people that they've got to minister to through the process. There's a little girl with her with her milk. But here's one of the Lord's laborers saved by amazing grace through the mission. This is Paulino. I say a little man with a big God. He's actually shorter than Jeannie.
I have the bend
down. Just really, as I spent time with this man, I feel like I'm way down here, and this is a giant of the faith, and just what a privilege it was to and you can pray for them. They've had some real difficulties in their ministry. They've actually lost some loved ones recently, and even their son that we met, who had muscular dystrophy for many years, he Christmas Eve passed away. And so we need to be praying for Paulino and Christina, and what's their daughter's name? So we'll be praying. We need to keep praying for them. But they have a great ministry, a great heart for their community and for the poor. Is this him when he was younger? So this is him. He was saved through one of their outreach ministries of the foundation for his ministry. He's being baptized there. It's a few years ago, obviously. I think that's him on the next to the right there, or at least him. This is a good sampling of some of the men in the rehab center that we saw videos of. Here's him sharing his testimony through his wife, who speaks English. And then there's some other pictures. You've seen the pictures of the dump. Here's some of the pigs there as we are. And you've seen those pictures. But here's Rancho de Cristo. I love this passage they chose to put on the rocks there. Isaiah 41:9. I have called you. This is the Lord speaking. I said, you are my servant. I have chosen you and have not rejected you. And these are the people who come to this ranch often have been rejected and often have a life where they really need some help to get their life together. Here's what the Lord says, verse 10. Let's read this together. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And what a great, great passage. And what a great thing it was to see the faces of these men who were learning skills and trades there and seeing God helping them with their hands now to do good, those who had done. And here's just some pictures of them. And then this is their child evangelism office here. And so one of our outreaches, we got to go into the different communities and it is some kids, and they were kind of standoffish for a little while. Then I got to have some fun with them. And this lady was just dynamite in her ministering these kids. And so we were all just kind of a part of that, supporting her as she's sharing Bible lessons, sharing the gospel with them. And so this was one of the plaques on the campus there. And I, from Psalm 104, O Lord, how manifold are thy works. And I think that really sums up a lot of what the Lord's works were just manifold. And I know anyone who's on the team would love to tell you more than we can in this short amount of time. But in wisdom hast thou made them all. The earth is full of thy riches. And here's some of the kids who are orphans there. We could be praying for them. Here's some of them up close. And they play Uno, but they call it one. You know, we say Uno when you're down to one. They say one when you got to start. But they do. And I'll just close with this little guy. You saw a picture of me playing chess with him later, and he's a little, he literally almost beat me in chess. He's a smart little guy. I'm not that good at chess, but he's a smart little guy. But we took him to the beach, and each of the people could probably tell you some neat stories about the kids they were with, but this guy just really touched my heart. And we took him to the beach, and he was kind of acting like he didn't like it. And I was asking him, do you want to do this? No. And we kind of, Chris got him to dig, and he started to come out of his shell a little bit, have fun. And where he really lit up was when Antonio pulled out his kite, or maybe John pulled out the kite, and started with his fighter kite, had up in the air, and this kid just started jumping up and down, and he was running, and he was following the kite, and he was just literally just jumping, just so excited, just like a totally different kid from a little bit ago. And then he wanted to learn how to fly the kite, and so for a long time we kept trying to help him, and then untangling it, he was a precious little guy. Moses is his name. I had to show Moses, and there's Connie also who's helping me with that. You will never be the same. You've heard that before. So let me just close on this note again, thinking about exalting the Lord, thinking about encouraging the believers, thinking about expanding your vision. And my prayer is that we've been able to begin to do that tonight. So thank you guys. I'm going to ask you guys to stand. We're just going to close with the doxology.